All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be chatting with an individual bolstering what is a stacked BKFC 48, and that all goes down on August the 11th, and definitely have my eye on this middleweight matchup as Donald Sanchez knuckles up and toes the line against Blake Lacaze. And great getting to have Blake on the show today. How's everything going, man? You having a solid day so far?
I'm having a solid day. I'm down here in this Louisiana heat right now, but I've been back home for about 2 weeks. I've been up in Boston training, and just putting in some real good training for this fight.
Yeah, and definitely a lot of that I want to get into, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, briefly get some thoughts on what went down with, you know, Zach Kalamus's wedding, and then kind of as an extension, that Bare Knuckle Hall of Fame weekend. It seemed like a big one there.
Yes, sir. We had it was a great weekend. Zach ended up getting married to his sweetheart, and we got to meet a lot of big name people, a lot of big name people that's made their name in this industry of combative sports. And Zach received the Spirit Award, and he felt honored enough to share his award with me up there in the Bare Knuckle Hall of Fame. That was an honor for me just to be there. I thought it was just kind of like a bonus because I was there for his wedding, and then I ended up receiving an award from the Bare Knuckle Hall of Fame along with him. So it was a great time being up there with one of my good friends.
Yeah, I understand he gave you that big old John L. Sullivan knife as well.
Yes, sir, he did, the Spirit Award, and he gave me that, and I felt the spirit once I got it, man. I mean, we put our life into this sport, and it was just an honor to receive that along right beside Zach Kalamus.
Seemed like a bit of interesting kind of culture shock as well with, like, the, you know, Amish people, rather, on the horse and buggy and everything like that. Was that kind of an interesting, you know, facet of the whole thing, too?
Okay, so it was a bit of a culture shock. So we was in Boston at first, and we made the trip upstate New York from Boston, which was right at a 7-hour drive. And I was kind of at awe seeing the countryside of the New York State, and I didn't know it had a country aspect about itself. And like you said, the Amish people and the buggy and the horses, it was very neat.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, good to experience like a different sort of way of life and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, an interesting sort of spot that you're in right now. And I guess curious to get some insights into a post I saw a little bit ago, like maybe if it was tied in a little bit, because your last fight being against Doug Coltrane and everything, I mean, big co-main event fight at BKFC 42. And I mean, didn't go your way in that win or loss binary per se, but it seems like you're trying to like really grow from the experience too. And I guess the post I was referencing, because he had a tweet out there saying, "I really put that pride to the side here lately." Like, was that sort of in reference to like aiming to rebound from that last fight, or was it maybe referring to something else altogether, I guess?
I guess yes and yes to both answers there. So the questions, I'm sorry. So I want to rebound after a loss, but also I want to show that I don't hang my head on nothing I do in this sport, because I know I give it my all and I give it 100. And Doug's a great fighter. He's undefeated for a reason. And we come in, we came banging, and he caught me on the end of the chin. You know, kudos to him. He goes forward in the game, but I don't let that take a step back, man. Not for me, because I'm Blake Lacaze, and this will be my fifth fight in 10 months, and I've been very active in my fight game for the past year. And I'm just, like you said, I'm looking to rebound and jump back and get my win back and progress in this sport, bare knuckle, that's growing so fast right now in the world.
Yeah, for sure. And there did seem to be that sort of quick turnaround. So, I mean, it didn't seem like you, I guess, sustained as much damage in that fight where you'd get like a lengthy kind of medical suspension. So great to see that you can kind of, I guess, continue to, you know, sustain being active and stuff like that, for sure.
Yeah, and I didn't sustain no injury. So when I did fall, my knee kind of like popped out and popped back in. I've had that problem with a knee before, because I've had 2 knee surgeries. But it was just the way I fell. I got caught on my chin. It was an awkward fall, and it that happened, but I didn't sustain any injuries, just a little swelling on my knee, and I was right back to it like a week and a half later training, just eager to get back in the ring and get it back. And I learned from my fight with Coltrane, and I took a lot from that fight. And I done said it once, I'll never hang my head on that fight. That won't make me, and it never will. And I'll be back, and y'all see me coming back with a hot vengeance right here coming up August 11th.
Then it seems like some things fell into place well, because I was checking out a recent interview you had, I think it was with Mike and Mish, where you were talking about just wanting like a bigger gas tank in general, and that kind of being a big focus of the camp. Like, it kind of seemed to organically play into this being like a higher altitude, higher elevation fight in New Mexico. So can you kind of talk about that whole timeline? Because it seemed like there was a certain level of synergy and, I guess, serendipity to how all that panned out, just kind of growing the cardio as you're readying to fight in this higher altitude, higher elevation area.
Well, in bare knuckles, so we're already fighting at a high tempo with our 2-minute rounds in BKFC, and I wanted to up to my tempo already, so I was like really rushing and getting my cardio up as best I could prior to even knowing I was going to Albuquerque. Once I found out I was going to Albuquerque, we went straight to the mountains. We started running, getting up high elevation, trying to adapt, train, really going full-fledged as hard as I can, like training hard. And I have many people that have vouched for me that was there with me in that camp and has been there with me during this entire camp. And absolutely, I wanted more gas. What fighter doesn't want more gas and more of a showing each fight? I always want to up my next showing and when I get in the ring. And the only way to do that is feel that gas tank slap full and be ready to put the show on. And that's what I'm ready to do. And I'm excited that it's in Albuquerque, because I hear that this is a fight town and these people are just extremely excited about us being there. So I'm just honored just to come to Albuquerque and be in their elevation and be up in the mountains with these people. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it seems to have become a great market for the company, and definitely a lot going on with the card. But we were kind of talking about Zach Calamus earlier, and someone who, as much as he's like a great close friend, seems like you guys have also really grown each other's respective bare knuckle games. And it seems like a lot of that refinement also happens at West Monroe Boxing Club, but I've also seen you at Pearl Boxing Club, you know, now and again as well. So I guess, where is like the main base of operations ahead of this one? And I guess beyond Zach Calamus, like, who would you credit as some primary sparring partners or even training partners ahead of this one?
Okay, I can't really credit just the main person for his a sparring partner, because I've got so many different looks for this fight. And Zach's been a top sparring partner, and he has been a top guy, and you know, a training partner. And we train and put in dog work every chance we get when we're around each other. And he's coming in here to Louisiana Sunday, and when he gets in Sunday, we already have sparring set up for Sunday evening. And we're just going straight full-fledged. Like, me and Zach Calmus, all we know how to do is put in dog work. And, we honor this sport and we respect it, so we want to bring the best out of each other and ourselves when we come to that ring. So that's how we train. That's just our mindsets when we come in. And as far as sparring partners, like you spoke on with West Monroe Boxing Club, that's where I'm stationary out of. I've had all my fights out of West Monroe Boxing Club, my 15 year career of combative sports and amateur boxing, pro boxing, bare knuckle now. And I always go and travel, and I have another close gym you spoke on, Pearl Boxing Club. I'm actually on my way to Pearl today to go spar with Big Baby and Chown Sims, the ABF and ABO champions over there at light heavyweight and heavyweight. So them guys are just really dogs. You know, they have excellent resumes in the professional boxing career. And I'm really looking forward to this fight because of how much work I've put in with all these top level guys. And I know Donald's a top level guy, man. He has a great resume, and he puts in great dog work himself. I know he does. He's a great fighter. He ain't stuck around this long for nothing. So me and Zach respect that, and we've respected that in this training camp, but we also know who Blakely Kaz is and what I can be and who I am, and that's been a big thing we've been bringing out in this training camp again. is we just got to go out there and establish who I am from the jump. And that goes back into our previous conversation with the cardio, which is just, it's got to be a statement, this fight, and that's what we're coming to make.
Yeah, and it's interesting because as much as it's like a brand new, unique sport altogether, just, you know, with his background being more centric to MMA with around 50 pro fights on some of the aggregators and, you know, seemingly, you know, much more than that from what I'm seeing. I mean, he does have some gloved boxing experience too, but you have a fair bit more gloved boxing experience than he does. So I guess in saying all of that, and this might be almost like a layman perspective kind of thing to say, but in a generalized way, does this fight almost boil down to like maybe his approach would be more centric on that like infighting, active clinch, like dirty pressure kind of style, whereas like your focus would be more showing that precise jab and that at range kind of boxing style, I guess?
Well, right, this is going to be a clash of styles, and you just spoke good. I do expect him to come in and work his clinch work and more of his grappling game on the inside. But he's fighting like a true boxer within me. And all I know is to keep a fighter on the outside, hit, not get hit, stay away, and, you know, just keep him on the end of my punches. So to contrast the styles of him trying to get in to gate that and get in on my out of my jab and me trying to just keep him on the end of my jab, this is going to be a great, interesting fight. And I don't like to speak on who wins, who loses, because fighting's like court. You'll never know how that stuff's going to turn out. This is a coin flip. But I believe in myself, and I'm showing up to fight. So I know what I'm capable of, and I'm going to be there. And we'll go from there after August the 11th.
Yeah, definitely want to talk about this fight more, but that kind of ties into something I wanted to ask you about, because I do enjoy that phrase, the whole fighting is like court, you don't know how it's going to turn out. Like, is that like a unique Blake Lacaze-ism that you kind of came up with, or like, is that a phrase someone kind of imparted to you when you were younger? I'm just curious, because I think it's a fun expression.
Well, it's a good paraphrase, because it's very true, and that's something that my dad's always told me. And it's not been because we've been in court or something. It's just kind of funny, because you never know how court can turn out. So it's just kind of been a paraphrase we've always used, and we transitioned that into fight. And it's just kind of a little funny between us that we always say. So I like to say it a lot, and people get a kick out of it. So, that's that.
Yeah, definitely enjoy it. But kind of like pivoting back to this fight, because I saw an interview where you were talking about your opponent, and kind of the operative wording was like looking to hand him another slaughterhouse loss on his resume, just with that Jeremy Smith fight taking place at BKFC 28 that he ended up losing via unanimous decision. Have you been, I guess, getting in any work with Jeremy Smith, or even reaching out to get any insights ahead of this Donald Sanchez fight, just considering his experiences with him?
No, sir, to be honest, I haven't. Me and Jeremy are signed both with Slaughterhouse, but we haven't spoken on this. I've talked to my manager and stuff that worked Jeremy's corner that night for that fight, and that's been that. But no, I haven't really asked for any insight, because I'm a veteran. I'm a fighter. I know what I'm coming to do, and I know what I'm stepping into. And I don't think y'all be surprised by anything, because I'm training for everything, and anything he's ready to do, I'm ready to fight back, man.
Yeah, and that definitely comes across, and it seems like you're still within an interesting spot in the division, like in the sense it doesn't seem like you're that far outside of a spot in the rankings, just with your previous opponent Doug Coltrane now being in at number 3. I guess I'm curious to get your thoughts on the division overall. Like, it seems like the division is, you know, building pretty well, like Dave Mundell notching his first defense of his championship and stuff like that. And seems like the division is kind of like sorting itself out in a certain way. Can you talk about, I guess, some of the recent developments at middleweight from your perspective as someone who's kind of within that division?
Absolutely. Our middleweight division is popping. Dave Mundell is really representing as the champion right now. And he come out with a shocking performance, took the belt from Richie. And he come out with another shocking performance and defended his belt against Richmond. And everybody wants to put a bullseye on that man, but that's a bad man right now. And but everybody wants to fight the champion, obviously. And you spoke on Coltrane being number three, and he was ranked four when we fought, and I was ranked number seven. And I think by no means me losing that fight on such a lucky shot should I've dropped down to number 18 in the rankings from seven. But I don't hang my head on that at all. I'll be right back. I'm coming right back. And our division is very, very explosive. We got a lot of big name people. We got people coming over. 175 is exciting because it's fast and hard hitters, and you never know what to expect in our division.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone has like such interesting stylistic attributes they bring to the table. And in talking about, I guess, what you bring to the table uniquely, like, it seems like you really know how to, like, use that renowned reach quite well. Like, obviously, you've got, like, the longest reach, like, highest height of anyone in the middleweight division, but it seems like there's very much, like, a refinement in that jab. And I was liking that recent article I was seeing on the BKFC site talking about how, like, even though, like, maybe some people discount the jab as, like, a more simplistic technique, it's, like, 15 years going into that, and just, I mean, close to 100 sanctioned fights. So yeah, it seems like the reach utilization and the range management coupled with like how refined that jab is, that seems to be like, I guess, like a big part of your identity in the division. Is that kind of how you sort of see it as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think all the guys kind of notice me as the big tall sniper in the division, and I do have a good jab, and I have a great jab, and I pump it, and I've hurt people and I've cut people in each fight that I've been in, and I base my fighting style off of that jab, but I have to. I'm 6'7". I'm 6'8" when I got shoes on, and my jab is my key punch. I love my punch, and it keeps me at bay. It keeps me at the end. It sets all my punches up, and jab city is a big part of my training camp, man. Like, everything's based off of that. Any bag work, sparring, mitt work, anything I do, man, it's all distance and it's all working on that jab. And you spoke on that too from the article. I told them, I said, this doesn't just come over like one training camp or one week of training this or just a few weeks. I said, this is Blakely Cass. I've been doing this for 15 years and I've perfected that punch and I love that punch, but it's been 15 years of training and perfecting that punch. It don't come easy. Don't everybody throw a jab like that. Everybody's not consistent with their jab. And I love that punch. And yeah, that is my identity. But I'm also a strong, hard hitting fighter too. But when bare knuckles, it doesn't take much to make a cut, make a rip. And once you find that, you start pecking away. You can end the fight really quick. So I'm always looking for a cut in any way I can get it.
Yeah, and the mindset going into your last fight seemed very centric on the idea that you guys would, you know, be shooting missiles at each other and dropping bombs and seeing it as like a make or break kind of fight. Is the mentality sort of similar in this one, if not maybe even more compounded, just being that both yourself and your opponent here are kind of looking to, like, I guess, rebound and just kind of realign their trajectories to that upward mobility in BKFC? Like, does this one kind of look, I guess, similar mindset wise to that last one of, you know, shooting missiles and dropping bombs and all?
Yeah, I guess it can, because that's every fight, you know, dropping missiles, dropping bombs. But where I'm at right now, Blakely Kez coming in this, I'm pissed off, I'm mad from my last fight, and I've got a statement to make. I love this sport. I love BKFC. I want to show why I'm here. I want to show why I don't dodge none of these names, none of these people they've thrown at me. And I'm coming in mad. I'm angry. And I've got a statement to make. And that don't mean I'm coming in overthinking or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But I'm mad, and I have a statement to make. And that's basically all I can say on that.
Yeah, I mean, the focus and the temperament definitely coming across, man. I was excited for this fight, you know, before, but definitely adding that much more to it talking to you. But like I was kind of saying before, I definitely want to be mindful of your time and schedule too, Blake. So in saying that, is there any final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping things up here, man?
I just want to thank all my sponsors and my management, man. Guerrilla Warfare, Slaughterhouse Management, Golden MVP, Bold Creations, Knight Law Firm here in Monroe, Louisiana, Joe Short Shoe Store in Hammond, Louisiana. All my sponsors and my management, man, they keep a lot of this going for me in training camp, like a lot of us fighters, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the sport, man. Bare knuckles blowing up. I'm part of it. So I'm going to get to be one of the pioneers one day that was, you know, starting when this sport was blowing up. And I'm really glad to be a part of it. And I'm really looking forward to this fight in Albuquerque, August the 11th. Donald Sanchez, Blaylee Cass, it's going to be a great fight, man. We're middle of the card, and I don't see one fight on that card that doesn't look interesting, man. Every one of them are like barn burner fights, including mine. And I'm excited to be a part of it, and I'm ready to get it over with, man. Let's get this show on the road.
Yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. August 11th, definitely looking like a very exciting night there. And I'm thinking BKFC 48 definitely going to be another, you know, seminal event in this great history of modern bare knuckle fighting that, you know, we've gotten to be a part of both as, you know, fighter and media member respectively. So definitely an exciting time and very exciting fight here against Donald Sanchez. So definitely to reiterate, appreciate the insights and coming on, man, and just making the time. But, you know, looking forward to checking out this fight for sure. But until then, man, you just have a good rest of your day there, Blake.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dylan, for your time, man. I really appreciate the interview.